Dharma is a practice. It isn't an intellectual exercise. If you want those kind of things, almost every other center around will have all sorts of interesting intellectual chat groups for you to be involved with. That's where you should go. This is a practice center. Practice transforms your life. That's the whole point to Buddhism, the transformation of your life. In this room, even right now, some of you have a better feeling. Some of you have actually touched on something and are beginning to see this practice is real and it is beyond anything you can imagine. See, and that's, for me, becomes sort of depressing, particularly in the Dokusan room. I have taken these last, it's almost 2 weeks now, and sometimes I show up, sometimes I don't, because I haven't taken vacations, but sometimes I really overdose in that Dokusan room in dealing with your fantasies, with your self-serving attitude. I sometimes want to tell you, listen to yourself. Is this the way somebody who is practicing would talk, would behave? See? Now, we've been following Zen Dawn, and the reason I'm going back and I'm going to follow all the way through, and I will bring koans in on these Thursday evenings. I didn't hear because, again, Shindo will vouch for me. I've been working out there, Soko and I, pretty much all the time. Got in just before 5:30, I think, when Mushoku got here. But bear with me. So when I take these week and I miss them sitting in the morning or in the evening, this is my vacation time. See? But to follow this, that this is a practice. Now, those of you who sat this summer, you'll know the difference. You will be aware. And I have a feeling that this small group, see, I tell you, we never had less 10, 12 people in the Zendo. Did it seem like that? Was a really an amazing, and most mornings and evenings, those of you who came, you had to sit on the Ryoban if you weren't here. Well, Ishin, you seldom could find an open space, right? Yeah. See, and that was rich. And this Shuso Hosen was quite marvelous. See, quite marvelous. There was a different sense. See, there is a core group that is beginning to realize that the practice is real. See, and so long as you can play in a fantasy world, see, until the doctor knocks, see, on your door and says you're terminal and you're all terminal, you don't know where it is, when it's going to be. See, but if you're lucky and you get to be where I am at 77, see, if you have any doubts, if you still think that you have the infinite life future in front of you, read the obituary columns. See, and you will find that they're dropping at your age group. They're dropping like flies. I always thought of this as a marathon. See, and I started out with literally hundreds of people I knew. The school wasn't very big, but there were, I think, 400 or 500 people in the school. That's the whole school, see? And it's like you start out running, see? And you look over and there's all of these people running along with you. Then you hit 40 and you say, well, it's thinned out a little, but the bulk of us are still there. There's some security. Then you hit 50. Well, it's still, you know, 50, there's a lot of folks here. By the time you hit 60, there's something going on here. See, every other space, there's a gap. See, and by the time you hit 70, you look up. See, and you're running with just a handful of folks. And from 77, see, on to wherever I hit the shoreline, very few folks that I know are still running. See, and that's your future. See, and it's too late at that time to practice. See, and the Hazy Moon still has too many people who do this as an interesting intellectual sideline. See, but it's real and it's transformation. So following along in this, we're going to look a little bit at Gunabhadra, see, of the Song period, and he was from India. See, and he came into China in the 424 to 454 in that period of time. See, and he was received by the emperor. And he was very famous in that he translated the Lankavatara Sutra. See, we have talked on the Lankavatara. We'll go back to the sutras because I like to play with all of these things. It sort of opens up the horizons for me. See, and I get bored. See, I get terribly bored in listening to myself. See, but he was rather famous, but there's not much that you know about him other than he was an amazing translator, see. And he was asked to give classes in meditation, which he refused to do at first because he was embarrassed by his poor language skills. His Chinese, he felt, wasn't particularly good. But he had a dream where somebody came and chopped his head off the night, and he felt that that was a sign that he was supposed to get serious about this thing and teach meditation. And that's what he did do. And here is his teaching very briefly. We'll go through this. See, we were followed up last week, if you remember, when we started into the introduction, we looked at how C.J. Cleary, he's far more, I feel, far more friendlier. He has a deeper, more profound aspect, I feel, even though his brother's much more famous. But his brother, for me, is a little bit cold, very intellectual, and in sometimes absolutely misleading in that he interprets rather than translates. C.J., I think, is a much, much, I think, and I've met them both. I won't say I knew them. I've had conversations with them in the early years, and it was obvious then Tom did not like to sit, period. And he bitched and moaned because when he came to ZCLA to work on translations with Roshi, he had to sit. I didn't dream it. I heard him. He told me. And his brother, we sent us. He said, well, that's why I don't like coming here. See, okay. See, now Gunabodra, he found the people there lacked the true teaching. They fell victim to delusional teachers. How bitter. What a great misfortune. They entrap themselves and they entrap others. We should feel sorry for these types who fall for long ages into demonic paths, subject to birth and death, and do not attain liberation. See, that's what goes on. There isn't any place that I know of in the United States where they actually teach anything that comes close to Dharma. They have practices, intellectual excursions, see, into Buddhism. See, they cultivate a conceptual and intellectual, but they don't practice Dharma. And that's the difference. And again, it's pointless even to come here if you only just want to listen to a talk. See, I don't put a lot of effort into my talks. See, and you could go someplace where people really would prepare, I suspect, and you could hear quite an eloquent talk. At least that's what Honmei tells me. She tells me that's out there everywhere. By the way, I was depressed. Mushoku hasn't responded. But a man from UK, did you see that email? Did you read it yet?
Yeah, I read it.
Yeah. Was that nice? Again, having some troubles, a difficult year. And he used... And he uses almost Ishan's an affinity, he said, for the talks. And he thanked us. And he said, well, I'm not making a commitment. He's asking whoever. But does Nyogen, does he ever sit sashins with people? See? But again, see, that kind of lifted me because I've been in a kind of a slump, I think, coming out of this summer. Because I get sick of myself talking. But if it does, see, and we had the man from, I think it was Romania, see, who literally said, thank us, you saved my life. See, did we ever answer him? Yeah, see, I should check the obituaries. But I mean, it's very, very moving. And actually, we did. You gave him some advice on what to check into, right? Yeah. But you saved my life. See, I'm not doing anything for anybody. See, it's the Dharma. I love the Dharma. It is an active living force in my life. I sometimes particularly feel, you know, an overwhelming sense of inadequacy, particularly when I worry about Mushoku, See, I worry about Ento. If I drop away, they don't have much of a family to go to. Her mother and father are old. She has a cousin. I worry about that. What will happen to this place? What will happen to those people? See, you may not think I do, but I do. Mushoku actually knows. She hears me. See, and I feel terrible because I felt if I was a more charismatic kind, see, and maybe if I was more involved in sort of self-promotion of some sort, see, there could be something more substantial here. But then again, is it? Was anybody more secure over at ZCLA? They threw the old-timers out. Literally the one, you know him, put him on the street with the sheriffs. He'd been there 15 years. See? So I guess we all take care of our karma. But those kinds of things do worry me. See? And you might think I'm a hard-hearted person, but I'm really not. See? Those who have an affinity, his words, an affinity with the way, and whose faculties are fully prepared, meet good and wise teachers on the road who bestow it on them. What? He's talking about the pathway to liberation. If not for the encounters with good and wise teachers, there would be no transmission. Do you know that transmission is real? It's vital. It doesn't matter. See, what's said out there. You can look even with Maizumi Roshi. You can decide for yourself if I say what's true or not. Those who know me, see, know that the one thing I would not do is lie about my teacher. And he recognized, see, as he said to me, I will have one living successor. Then he paused and he turned his head. Maybe two. See, maybe two. See, these teachers, like Maizumi Roshi, he knew, and yet people will walk around and say they have transmission, which is in fact a joke. If you have not met the teacher in the Doksan room, and there's a difference between just coming in and chit-chatting and actually beginning to experience the transformation of the space, the transcendental. I've tried to tell you about that, and I've talked about my own encounters with Maizumi Roshi in there, where he held up the katsu in the Doksan room. You've all been in the Doksan room. See, well, not much goes on in there, according to where you are. And he turned, and at that point he had successors sitting out. We were the group of us up at Mountain Center. And he took the katsu and he said, Nyogen, and he turned it. And he said, none of them out there even knows this place exists. What is he talking about? See, what is he? Some of you have touched on that a little bit now. See, cultivate. It's real. See, this Dharma is real. He taught that the Lankavatara Sutra says, the mind of Buddhas is supreme. When the Dharma is bestowed in our teaching, where deluded states of mind do not arise, it is this. The Dharma surpasses all others. See, where deluded states of mind, what is the deluded state of when you are talking to yourself, when you are critical, when you are judging? See, critical, judging. You are caught then behind your eyeballs. You're caught, see, in this egocentric mind. See, this is in the realm of the six senses. This is the sixth shiki. This is the confusion. See, talking to yourself, judging. He said, when these deluded states are no longer arising, this is it. This is it. Not to intellectually understand this. Some of you have an intellectual understanding of this, but it doesn't bring about the transformation. The fruit of enlightenment can only be known for oneself with mind silent. Silent mind. Not some kind of intellectual garbage. Not all involved in highfalutin sounding service. See, it is still ego involved and will cause pain and suffering. Mind silent. Does that? No. See, it means in a state of samadhi, non-distract, mind silent. Are you talking to yourself? Are you making evaluations and judgments? If you are, you have no idea what the silent mind is like. See, and even if you can quiet down a little so that the traces move through, you are still delusional. The Buddha said, even the shadow of an eyelash distorts reality. See, the practice is real. It will transform you. But it demands that you completely throw open the windows and sweep the room out. So long as you still hold little secret places, see, I know that space, and it's always when you come into the Doksan room, because you get angry, and you want to bawl, and you want to do all, see, so I go along with you. Oh, yes, you're an amazing deep samadhi. I go, oh, my God. See, you have to stop, see, deceiving yourself. See, ultimately, the fruit of enlightenment can only be known for oneself. See? Without preoccupations, we sit in purity, preserving the fundamental and returning to the real. See, purity. See, this again was like Bruce Lipton. Where you are as you are, turn it into a Garden of Eden. See, that's what we're doing here. In the midst of the insanity of the world around you, how many of you, see, play into that insanity? Do you get quiet? Do you sit in the purity, see, of an undefiled mind, a silent mind? Then here is where I take care of it. This, see, is where I turn it into a Garden of Eden. Wherever I step, I cover the ground. There is no place that is not a Buddha field. The basic ground of a Buddha field is compassion, selfless compassion. There is no sense of, I am going to do something noble for you. See? Because there is no separation in the silent mind. Let's see what he has to say on this. We sit in purity. Purity. See, that's the treasure, see, of the Dharma. What is purity? As it is, not as the way you think it is. Only people rich in merit and virtue can receive it and carry it out. So long as you try to game it. So, now again, I'm starting to kind of get to the sort of my old-time religious rant. Whatever effort you make in Zazen, you profit from it. So don't let me lead you. But the fact is, what I want to stress is that there is a profound, you can in fact transcend birth and death. See, I don't know, Shindo's getting Tom Campbell stuff worked out, so you'll hear, you'll have that up soon. Some of you can hear, can be even hearing that. When you heard what Lanza, you read what Bruce Lipton says, you look what Eben Alexander says. And I brought this up, I think, last Saturday. People were attacking this man for his book, for his experience. See, when meningitis of the brain. See, and he said, you know, it's really, he said, you can do this in much better ways. He said, meningitis just isn't the way to go to have this experience. See, There are other things that you can do. Tom Campbell is an advocate, see, of meditation. They all are. Ultimately, it is the only thing that will bring you into this. But the vicious attacks on Eben Alexander, and old Sam Harris wading in there, and Eben Alexander then publicly challenged him to a debate. And he refused, saying, oh, I have a publishing deadline. And he became very cozy in the way. He's afraid of him. See, he's afraid to debate him. The man is brilliant. He's trying to tell you something about your consciousness. See, something quite marvelous about you. See, if you do not understand, if you are not liberated, the sixth consciousness possesses the seventh and eighth. What does this mean? It means intellectually you're making up stuff. See, about the Shikis, about Buddha mind. If you do not understand, or if you do understand, if you are liberated, the eighth consciousness is without the sixth and the seventh. See, there are, you now, see, exist in this pure state. Those who intend to be Buddhas should first learn to pacify the mind. Before mind is pacified, even good things are not good. So much the worse for evil. When mind becomes peaceful and still, neither good nor evil has any basis. Now, out there, see, people are attacking. Mazen brings this stuff up. They're attacking. They obviously listen to what we're doing here. See, and they don't get it. Samadhi, well, it's an interesting little thing over here, but it's how you live your life. He's just told you. If you don't live in a still mind, if you don't live in a state of samadhi, even when you're trying to do good, you cause harm. I try to explain that to you by talking to you about how I've tried to work with Soko. I'm really making progress. And if I can live to be 114, I might pretty much get off her back with my good deeds. I'm always going over to do the right thing for you. I walk, and my God, she just must go, oh no, do we have to do this one again? He's going to save me from myself. See, and I'm learning. See, good deeds. See, coming from the egocentric self. How many of you? Some of you, you don't even listen to yourself in the Dokusan room because you go through that whole thing about, now I'm going out, now that I've had this wonderful experience, and I'm going out to save the world. I think, oh, damn, that's going to be rough when that one crashes, see? He said that since coming to this country, he said, I have not even seen people who cultivate the path, much less who have pacified the mind. See, and this is something we have to talk about. See, cultivating an intellectual understanding. That's what goes on, as near as I can determine, and I was once part of the intimate, 99.99% of what goes on for Buddhism in this country, see, is the cultivation of path, an intellectual understanding. See, not pacifying the mind. Do you see? If you actually are into the state of oneness, if you're into this state, see, then nothing's going on here. Now, those of you who are cultivating an intellectual understanding of this, this is better. Even if you sort of, see, when Yogin says mirror samadhi, I kind of, that's better. See, then somebody walking down the street, or a Wall Street banker, or one of the warmongers. See, we have to intellectually begin to see. Intellectually begin to see. Then we can cultivate the pacification of the mind. See, low entropy. See, this is what Tom Campbell's talking about. He's just using nerdy computer physics. See, entropy. That's your crazy mind. When that stops, whoo, and that's what he says. That's what we're constantly moving toward. If you don't get that, see, if you don't get that, if you aren't willing to test it, it won't fail you. See, some of you are testing it. See, get very quiet and just allow the next moment to come. And because we still will have doubts, we still, see, will be insecure, then like Roshi would say, act as if. Use an affirmation. See, stop talking to yourself in negative terms or grandiose terms. That's I don't know much about that, so if you're there, you're hanging by yourself. But those of you who limp along with a real poor self-image, I think we can communicate, see. They operate, now here, see, if I hope this isn't anybody here. They operate with the mentality of self and others. Self and others, see. They engender the mentality of resentment and hatred. That's the picking and choosing mind. Do you see that with yourself? Have you become sensitive, see, to the sense as you look out, you're constantly making judgments? Are you aware of that? If you're not aware of that, then you have to do more zazen until you can begin to watch and become free, where there's enough of a gap to see how you're always projecting out what you know about other people's faults or behaviors. If you don't see that, you're still totally deluded. When we begin to see that, the gap grows wider. And you don't immediately project out from your good judgments and your bad judgments. That's what he's talking about. Even your good judgments, driven behind self, cause pain and suffering. See, can you simply, in this silent mind, sit? And if there's nothing to do, sit quietly. If there's something to do, take care of it. See, and if you become impatient, I have to do something, see? Read a good book. See, go take a run, a jog. Go bake a cake, for sugar-free cake for Ryozen. See? Think about this. See? Even if you scrupulously perform practices day and night, you cut off afflictions and clear away obstructions with this. See, and with this kind of, it's if you practice holy things. See, if you get into religion. See, if you get, even if you do all of that stuff. See, with this kind of attitude, barriers to the path arise one after another, overwhelmed. How can I do it? How can I accept one after another, after another, after another? See, trying to do good. Do you know what a pain in the ass trying to do good is? I have kept trying to do good for Soko for almost 27 years. See, trying to do good. See, and I always screw it up. See, if you don't see that in yourself, if you're so smug that you think you walk through this field of crushed, dying bodies that you leave behind you in your wake, where do you think they came from? From you. See, from you. See, can you become clean? Can you become pure? You will not find peace in stillness. And he said, and this is just called cultivating the path. It is not called pacifying the mind. Even if you practice the six paramitas, expound the scriptures, sit in meditation, and advance energetically practicing austerities, this is just called being good. It is not called dharma practice. If you do not irrigate the karmic field with the water of desire, if you do not plant the seeds of consciousness there, this is called dharma practice. See, again, act as if. See, act as if. It isn't a show-off. It isn't trying to prove to people that you are a Zen teacher. What is an enlightened being like? They are selfless. Selfless compassion. They are not angry. They are generous. They are peaceful. They are helpful. See, that's what it means, and that's what Roshi was saying. That's an affirmation. See? He said, the Lankavatara Sutra says, how can one purify one's thoughts? Do not allow false thinking. See? Do not allow defiled thinking. Put your utmost energy into mindfulness of Buddha. See? Let mindfulness of Buddha continue without a break. You will be still without thoughts, and you will witness the fundamental empty purity. See, how do you do this mindful? Like this. Now sustain it. He also said, once this is received, you do not fall back from eternal stillness. See, it isn't continuously pushing the stone like Sisyphus up the hill to have it roll back. See, if you can sustain it till we cut the cord, see, you are free. And that's what we do on this plane of existence. We're here, see, for our evolution of consciousness. If you don't evolve, if you stay trapped in the world of desires, see, and it isn't the desires, it's the attachment. See, if you're caught in wanting this, rejecting that, see, then you waste lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. He goes into that in some detail. This, once this is received, you do not fall back from eternal stillness. Thus, Buddha said, how can it be increased? He also said, you learn from the teacher, but enlightenment does not come from the teacher. Whoever would make people wise has never expounded the Dharma. It is verified in the event. Here, now. See, this is what the transmission is, see, in the room. See, if you can't open the Dharma eye, you will never see the teacher. And this was the tragedy of with my teacher. See, when he turned that and said, they don't even know this space exists. If you're thinking of some, well, I don't know, I think I can understand that, you weren't there. You did not experience, see, what I experienced. What an amazing treasure this was. If they do not first learn to pacify mind, those who seek the great vehicle are sure to err in their knowledge. The Wayan Sutra says, if you have no views, then you can see. Now, where in the hell are these people coming from who say, it's not so important to cultivate samadhi? That's all they talk about. That's all they say. If you don't cultivate samadhi, you will never, see, experience the revelation, the realization, and the actualization of this most amazing thing that you are. See, you are already there. You have to get out of the ruminating mind. He said, if you have no views, then you can see. However, the Siyi Sutra said, it is not something seen with the eyes or known with the senses. See, it's different. Some of you in this room know. See, we've had peaks, see? And you know, this is an absolutely true statement, see? And yet, there's no other way that we can express it. He said, it must be seen by according with thusness. All the senses are thus. Thus, and so the thusness of the Dharma, see? Thusness, as it is, Dharma. As it is. See, just say, oh, I get it, it's just my life. No, that's what they say out there. That's called Bujizen. Bujizen. See, because that's still in the realm of self and others. He also said, The leaves of a tree can preach the Dharma. A jar can preach the Dharma. A pillar can preach the Dharma. A staff can preach the Dharma. A room can preach the Dharma. Earth, water, fire, and air can all preach the Dharma. Earth, wood, tile, and stone can preach the Dharma. What is this? Thank you.